This is The Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 29.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to The Side Hustle Show. This is episode 29. Thank you so much for being here. Today's show is all about turning you into a productivity ninja, which, you know, you're already well on your way since you're listening to this podcast. And so why is productivity so important? Well, for obvious reasons, we only have 24 hours in the day, and it's on us to make the most of those hours. And so productivity is even more crucial for side hustlers because our hours are even are that much more limited. So I consider myself, like, I'm like a mid-level productivity nerd. I definitely wouldn't say I'm at ninja status yet, but it's something that I'm working on. So because of that, I've brought on the resident expert, Timo Kiander from ProductiveSuperDad.com. Awesome. He's got his superhero name. After the episode, head on over to his site to grab his free download, which is 222 tips for becoming a productivity superstar. And I will link to that as per is the usual in the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/episode29. And if none of the stuff we talk about today works for you, you're bound to find something that hits home in that massive list. So now let's bring Timo on the line. Timo, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Yeah, nice to be here, Nick.
Now, I bring Timo on to talk about productivity for side hustlers because he literally wrote the book on the subject, Online Business Productivity, How to Start a Productive Online Business and Get Shit Done Even When You're Working from 9 to 5. He's an 18-time marathoner, a freelancer, a father, and blogs at ProductiveSuperDad.com. Coming to us all the way from Finland, Side Hustle Nation is transcending borders. So, Timo, tell us what inspired this new book.
I mean, my dream has always been to create an online business because I realized that I do not like my day job and I want to take control of my life to my own hands. So I decided that I want to build an online business. And one of the obvious things was that, and I think that this is what many people struggle with, is that when you're working full-time and you have a family and you have a lot of other commitments and you have to figure out how to find time to build your online business. I mean, it's nice to have this dream of yours of having this great business, but you also have to find time to actually build it. So when I was working full-time and I had this idea of writing a book about how other successful entrepreneurs and bloggers and internet marketers have built their businesses. I just wanted to figure out if there are any, you know, so-called secrets out there when it comes to productivity. Like, there are lots of these great and successful people out there. So are they doing something differently and what it is all about? And I wanted to figure it out, you know, all those different strategies that they were using. And that's basically how this book was born, and it has been a very, very interesting project. It has been written with 18 co-authors, and they are all, you know, sharing their stories and best tips about productivity and how to manage one's time when you're building a business on the side. So
yeah, this is, it's a really cool format of the book. Like you said, there's 18, these are some big names. You've got Pat Flynn, Chris Ducker, Natalie Sisson, Corbett Barr, Danny Innie, some really big names from the internet marketing world, and they're all sharing their top productivity tips. So it definitely makes it an interesting read, and to kind of see kind of, you know, everybody's approach is slightly different, but there's definitely some overarching themes, and that's kind of what we'll talk about during the call today. So the first kind of productivity tip or hack that that I want to touch on is this theme of advanced preparation. And sure. Can you tell us what that's all about?
one of the most important things that you have to do is to prepare for your tasks in advance. And so basically what happened in my situation was that I used to wake up, you know, early around 5 to 6 a.m. and that was basically my private time of building my online business, you know, before I got to work and before my family woke up. But I also realized that it's not enough to have some available time for your business. You also have to prepare for your tasks in advance so that you are not wasting your time and you are actually maximizing your available time. So basically what I did and what I'm still doing is that whenever I know that there is a certain task I want to do next, I want to make sure that I have this kind of a plan that I'm following whenever I start working. So if it's like, I mean, for instance, if my plan is to write a blog post the next morning, so I do some advanced preparation, I outline the post and do some preparation work like that, so that I'm not wasting my time on pondering what to do and how on earth I'm going to do it. So I have this kind of a game plan in front of me, and it's very easy to follow that. So that's what this advanced preparation is all about. And in general, it's all about, you know, having a task list, like having this list of couple of tasks that you want to achieve the next day, because it's a great way to make sure that you are focusing on the right stuff instead of some, you know, low value stuff.
Yeah. So here's something I'm guilty of. I mean, I've got a to-do list or a want to-do list a mile long, but sometimes I'll find myself, all right, I've got a block of time, I'm going to get some work done. And then I end up staring at this list for 15 minutes trying to decide, you know, what should I work on first? And I really like that idea of like, okay, I'm going to outline that blog post first. So I've got some sort of structure. Maybe I'm doing that the night before. So I've got some sort of structure to it. So I'm not staring at that blank screen with the cursor blinking at me. Yeah. And I'm like, how do I get this going? But do you have any prioritization or like any tools that you're using to kind of, break this to-do list down? And maybe that's my fault, having a to-do list that's, you know, 20 or 30 items deep, where it should be like, okay, here's the three things I hope to get done today or something.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, there are lots of task management tools out there. I mean, the list is really, really unbelievably long, and there is so much, I mean, there are so many tools that you can use that sometimes it's not even, you know, even funny. I mean, you get so overwhelmed of this all these great tools out there. But the one I'm using is Nusby by Michael Slewinski, and he's actually one of the contributors in my book. But anyway, I'm using his task management software, and it's basically
Nusby, Nozbe.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So it's based on the GTD, or getting things done, ideology. I'm not following that so religiously, but still I think that Nozbe is a really simple and easy to use task management software, and I'm just basically breaking my tasks into different projects I think that, for instance, when I have been, you know, writing my book, so, you know, spent majority of my time writing the book and doing tasks related to this project, because you have to realize that there are certain tasks or certain projects which have a long-term effect to your future success or to your future in your online business. So understanding that there are different projects out there, And I think that writing a book, especially in my situation, is one of those projects which have a long term effect when it comes to building my online business. So,
and that's a pretty daunting task. Like, can you imagine if like item one on your list is write book? Like, that doesn't seem that seems maybe a little intimidating when you sit down to the computer. So are you breaking that down into
yes.
into smaller
yes.
items?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So of course, I don't just have an item on my list saying write a book, but I would say that I just have certain tasks. I mean, whenever I'm starting a project, I do not know all the tasks which are involved, and I know that when I'm having a task list, so new tasks gets you know added to the list, and then there are some tasks which I'm removing. What I'm trying to say is that you need to have some kind of a starting point, and of course you need to have some overall idea what the project is going to be all about, but at least have some kind of a starting point of some of the tasks that you're going to do first, and then eventually you are going to learn those next tasks that you want to do and all those different things that are needed to be done in your project. So,
yeah, I like that. You know, get a actionable, well-defined starting point that maybe doesn't even take that much time. For example, it could be, I'm going to install WordPress. I'm going to find a theme that I like. And then, you know, once you do that, it takes 5 minutes. And then now you're on a roll, right? You feel like, oh, I already crossed this one item off. And now I can, you know, play with the menus. I can do this and that. And so I think that definitely helps get the ball rolling. But let's move on to point number two, which is another favorite of mine. It says making the most of your travel time. And this is something that you know, I was guilty of too. So we're going to get into all my productivity sins in this list. But up until a couple years ago, I hadn't even discovered podcasts or anything. And so I would just, you know, sit in the car and listen to the radio basically. And like, oh, this isn't the best use of my time. But so now I'm feeling very like, and even when I'm sitting in traffic, it's like, well, at least I'm learning something. At least I'm listening to some podcast. I'm feeling much better about life now.
Yeah, well, you know, I have to admit that I was pretty much like you, you know, like some time ago, like years ago, and I really didn't, you know, take advantage of this, you know, traveling times when I was, you know, traveling from one point to another. So I was just, you know, sitting and watching the scenery or doing something other like that. But when it comes to taking advantage of your travel time, there are basically two ways I take advantage of that time. It's either educating myself or it's basically building my online business. And once again, we come back to this tip number one that we talked about. For instance, when I was working full time and every now and then I had to travel to our capital. That's where our head office was, and I was traveling there by train, and the train trip took approximately like 3 hours to get there.
Okay, well,
and before I you know started my business travel, so I made sure that I had all the material on my laptop, so that it was very easy for me to, you know, turn on my computer when I went to the train, and you know. Just, you know, sat down and started working on whatever project I was doing. So I always knew the tasks that I wanted to do, and I always had to plan. You know, I had all things figured out in advance what I wanted to do. That was also, of course, one thing that I did. And then this other thing was education, and of course, some advanced preparation had to be done there as well. For instance, if there was this particular online video course that I was following, so I made sure that I downloaded all the videos to my laptop, because at least here, when you are traveling in a train, there is no guarantees that you have a Wi-Fi access
right
there. So you have to be able to work offline if it happens. So now that I started taking advantage of those traveling times, you know, it was one of those best things that could happen to me. Like, I would say that taking advantage of those mobile time blocks is a really great way to improve your productivity, especially if you are, you know, doing this stuff part-time.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. If you travel a lot for work or for vacation, you might be familiar with that feeling you get knowing you're leaving your space unused for long periods of time and you're still paying for that privilege. But hosting on Airbnb means you don't have to leave your home sitting empty when you're away. Being an Airbnb host isn't just a way to earn some extra cash. It's a chance to share your space and make a guest's vacation all the more memorable. You might be thinking, maybe my place isn't the right fit, but don't write it off just yet. Your potential Airbnb might be right in front of you. Whether it's a spare room or even your entire home, there's an opportunity waiting. Airbnb turns your home into a practical and even profitable venture. We just got back from a family trip to Hawaii where we stayed in a great Airbnb, but our place back home could have been a highlight to somebody else's travels, and we could have used the extra cash to help pay for the trip. So if you're curious about hosting on Airbnb, find out how much your space could be worth by visiting airbnb.com/host. Once again, that's airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, that's perfect. If you're taking public transportation, you've got an opportunity to create content and to listen to content. If you're driving in your own car, that can be listening to audiobooks or podcasts. You know, if you're riding the bus, you can be, you know, updating your social media and interacting with people on Twitter or whatever. I used to drive, you know, 500-600 miles a week for work, and it was just, you know, straight up listening to the satellite radio. There was like zero it was so many wasted hours. I called it windshield time of like, you know, this was all this opportunity for education and learning about online business that I just wasted it all. I feel pretty bad about it. This is kind of a weird, not necessarily a productivity tip, but something I started to do when I have been on long drives is actually like some form of exercise. Like I will like tighten my core and really concentrate on that, like flexing my stomach for, you know, the duration of one song or, you know, until the timer gets up to, you know, the next 5 minutes or something, and then take a break and then do it again. So that might be a little bit weird, but, you know, if you're in the car by yourself and
that's very interesting.
It's like, oh, you know, I'm lazy. I'm not getting my exercise, but like, oh, at least I can like, you know, work my muscles somehow.
Yeah.
So the third thing we have is working in smaller time chunks with time and scheduling time for breaks. So this is known as the Pomodoro technique, where you set a timer, and you know, after 20 minutes goes off, 25 minutes goes off, you force yourself to stand up and take a break. What do you think about that?
I would say that it's a very popular technique right now, and a lot of people talk about it. I have to say that I really haven't tested it as much as what I have wanted, because for me, I guess my typical Pomodoro, you could say that it's like 45 to 50 minutes.
Okay.
And I think that for me, 20 minutes is just a too short time period, because I feel that many times I'm just, you know, entering into a flow state. I mean, especially if I have a task that I'm very, you know, passionate about, and I'm looking forward to do it. So, you know, having this 20-minute chunk of time is fine, perhaps for certain tasks. But I think that in some situations, it just, you know, breaks my flow, and so
If you're getting going and you're, you know, in that state of flow, and it doesn't really make sense to, you know, to force yourself to stop and break it up. So I'm kind of, this is not something that I've ever tried myself. So I'm kind of, you know, maybe I'll test it out, but it's like, yeah, when I'm going, I'm going. And, you know, when it's time for a break, it's time for normally. So I work on a treadmill desk most of the time. And so normally when it's time for a break is when the thing maxes out at like 99 minutes and 59 seconds. 'Cause then like it, you know, the display breaks basically. And so it like hard restarts. And so that's like when my, you know, when I'm forced to like stop, because it's like, okay, now the belt stopped moving and it's like, oh, I've been at it for 100 minutes. And so the next point I have is with regards to elimination. And that's kind of this asking yourself this question, what am I doing the work that really drives results? And, you know, we focus a lot on our to-do list, but I think equally important is your not to-do list.
I think another way of saying is, and this is basically a direct quote from a person called, let's see, I just read his book some time ago, person. But anyway, he was basically asking, what is the best use of my time right now? Oh, by the way, I remember the guy's name. His name is Alan Liken. Okay. He's one of these, you know, time management gurus out there. And he basically wrote this book in the early 70s. Can you believe that? But anyway, he's basically asking this question, or he taught me this question when I read the book, what is the best use of your time right now? And I think that it's a great way to actually eliminate some of the stuff that you aren't supposed to do. I know that I'm guilty of this. I'm still doing some work that I'm not supposed to do, but I'm getting better with this. I just started outsourcing some of my tasks again with a service, and I know that you are aware of this, a service called Ephesus, and I'm really looking forward to you know, outsource some of my less meaningful tasks for those guys. So,
right. And we link to all the stuff in the show notes. So Ephesize is a virtual assistant company. You send them your tasks, and you know, they 15 or 30 minute tasks, and you send them off to those guys, and they, you know, just email you back the results. So very handy for kind of offloading some of the small stuff that really doesn't require your personal attention. If somebody else can get it done, these guys can get it done for you, and it's kind of out of your mind and off your plate.
But
the elimination stuff is something that you could take to extreme. And, you know, this is in the 4-hour work week, where they talk about just, you know, the 80-20, right? Like, you know, I'm not going to deal with this because that doesn't drive the results. And I find myself kind of still doing the same stuff too, like working on the shoe business, for example. Like, this isn't work that I necessarily need to do, but I kind of like to. You know, I've been doing it for years. You know, there's a certain level of comfort there. You know, I probably should, you know, let my VA handle it, but I don't know. So that's something I definitely need to work on too. So point, I want to kind of, we'll go off on a tangent here. So I want to ask if you have any system for email. So this is the closest I've ever come to like a Pomodoro technique. It's like, I'm going to work for 25 minutes or half an hour, and then I'm going to like reward myself by like getting to check my email. I'm like trying to get out of this Gmail browser tab that's like open all day, every day for probably almost 10 years. Well, when did Gmail come out? Like 2004, 2005. So it's been, it's been this like bad habit for like years and years and years. It's like having a really hard time breaking it. And so the Pomodoro is like the closest thing I've come. Like, okay, I'm going to close out, and then I'm going to like reward myself, because it's quicker to like batch process emails. Like, I understand that, but I still like I almost get like anxiety over like, what am I missing? Like, if I don't see it, like the instant it comes in, it's really bad. So do you have any, do you have any email hacks?
What I have been trying to do is that whenever I'm receiving an email, and when I'm, you know, subscribed to this one, you know, this particular list, I'm asking myself, is this email or is belonging to this list really something that's, is it valuable to me? Is it bringing me any value?
Okay.
And if it's not, and especially if I'm just, you know, hitting the archive button on my Gmail, so then I know that most likely I'm not going to read those email messages, and I might as well unsubscribe. So I have pretty much developed an unsubscribe habit, meaning that whenever I'm receiving an email and I know that this is not going to bring me any value, I just hit unsubscribe, and that's perhaps one of the easiest way to get rid of at least some of the messages that are landing to your inbox.
Yeah, I've got a ton of filters set up. You kind of unsubscribe habit is something you don't unsubscribe from Side Hustle Nation or Productive Superdad.
No.
But everything else, you know, you've got to be pretty ruthless with that stuff. But a ton of filters. Like I had, all these Groupon and Living Social emails are coming through every day. You know, I set up a filter probably a year ago. And, you know, I didn't unsubscribe from them, but I sent them to like this daily deals folder and honestly have not missed it one, have not even checked it since then. Like there's thousands of emails in there and it's like, you know, I probably have missed out on some deals, but I've saved myself just like a ton of like this mental burden of having to like manually click and delete it every day. It's been, it's been a big savings for me.
Yeah. And, there is also this service called unroll.me. It's a way of unsubscribing from multiple email lists at once.
Now, do you use their roll-up service where they like
batch
all of the newsletters like all into one like at the end of the day?
Yeah. I mean, I actually tested that service and it was good, but I'm not using that anymore. But of course, that's just one way of dealing.
Okay.
Dealing your email list subscriptions, but really the way they bundled all these messages together, I didn't like that.
Okay, now are you using the Gmail tabs, or did you switch back to the old system?
I'm still using the tabs, and I'm actually in a process of learning more about it, and if there are different ways of taking advantage of it. I mean, I was really confused of it when it came out, and I know that I wasn't the only one. But, I'm still using the tabbed interface version of Gmail, and it takes a little bit of time to get used to, but I think that I'm getting better at it every day. So
yeah, I'm still using it too. Like a lot of people kind of had that knee-jerk reaction, hey, give me back to the old interface, and I was about to be that person too, but I kind of have left it running and have found I kind of like it. Like I kind of, especially like the promotions tab, because I'm subscribed to a lot of newsletters too, and it kind of lets you batch process stuff a little bit faster because you're not like sorting through stuff that really does require your attention. And so Ari and myself from lessdoing.com?
No, I'm not sure about that.
He's another good guy to follow for productivity steps. And he's got a system where he's got a filter set up in Gmail, anything with anything with the text unsubscribe in the body of the email. He has a filter set up to dump it into an optional folder. He's like, if they're going to offer me the option to unsubscribe, that probably means I don't need to like see it in my inbox immediately. Like I'll go through and I'll look, once a day, once every couple of days in this optional folder. And, every now and again, it catches something important, but it's like, I thought that was kind of an interesting system.
That's a very nice tip.
Okay.
Thanks for telling me about it. It's a real great one. I just want to implement it in my own Gmail account as well. There is also something else what I wanted to talk about, this handling your email. One thing what I have realized, and this is, of course, what Chris Ducker was talking about in his section in my book, was that you shouldn't treat your inbox as a task list. And very often we have inboxes full of messages. And what I have also realized is that if I do not take action on a certain message right away, I still have that message lying on my inbox maybe weeks or 2 weeks later. And what I mean by this is that many times when we have an email message, there are certain tasks that or certain assignments that we have to take care of. And one of those things that I'm doing is that whenever there is an action assigned to me, I try to make sure that I actually take that piece of information and then I take it to my task management software so that it's already there and it's stored on my task list.
So it's kind of getting it out of the inbox and into the other task management system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that way I'm not forgetting some important piece of information.
Yeah, it's very much digital clutter is clutter just the same, and it creates this mental burden. And
exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and I've struggled to get to inbox zero, but trying to employ kind of a one touch system, and this is, I wasn't a huge fan of the Getting Things Done book, but you know, this is something I took away from GTD. It was like, you know, the one touch system, and it was like, deal with it, delegate it, defer it, and delete it. I don't know, there was one more D.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And
very good. So that was a good tangent on email, but we'll go back to the main list now. Point number five I have is slow down, and this is kind of the you know, this is very Zen habits, less is more, but tell us what slow down can do for productivity.
Okay, so I have this very, very practical example of this and what it means. So, you know, I started blogging back in, you know, 2010, or let's say that it was 2011. It was 2010 on the New Year's Eve.
Okay, it was pretty much 2011.
Anyway, I started blogging, and I wrote a blog post once per week. And then later on, I started recording video tips, and I started doing podcasts. And even with these three items, like I was recording podcasts in every 3 weeks, and I was, you know, recording this quick video tip on a weekly basis, and writing this full-length blog post on a weekly basis. But even if my schedule wasn't that tight, I mean, there are lots of people out there who are posting on a daily basis. Even this with this schedule, I was, you know, thinking about writing a blog post all the time. I mean, as soon as I had finished writing a post, I started thinking about another post. And I never really had any time to do any research. I never had any time to work on my projects and anything like that. And then when I started my coaching relationship with Danny Ini, so he basically said that I should slow down my blogging pace to a bi-weekly basis. And first of all, I thought that it's a crazy idea. I mean, it's not a way to grow my blog by any means. But then I realized that it's definitely one of the best things that has ever happened to me when it comes to blogging. So once I learned to slow down my pace a little bit, I got more time to work on my projects, to do more research, to experiment a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, this is something I kind of had done in practice, and then I think read your post on it and felt a little more validated that I wasn't posting as often. So, you know, and I tried to blog at one point, maybe for a year. I was like, you know, trying to do 4 days a week, 5 days a week, or 3 days. It was, you know, it was getting, you got to give people time to digest this stuff too, especially if it's a, you know, and those weren't like, you know, epic posts or anything. Not very many of them were. But, you know, if you're writing some really in-depth stuff, yeah, you got to set up the time to, you know, give people time to digest it and give yourself time to spread the word about it. Because, you know, if you're going to go after a content marketing strategy, you know, content is half the battle, but marketing is the other half. You know, if you're writing all this stuff and no one ever reads it, then, you know, that gets discouraging and all that stuff. So, for businesses that are not like particularly online or blogging related, is there any examples or applications where we can apply this slow down tactic to?
All I'm saying is that too often we are too busy of doing a lot of stuff. Like we have lots of tasks on our lists, and we are trying to get as much work done as possible. But I have also realized that there is this one particular downside of this, and it's the fact that if you do not stop for a moment, I mean, occasionally you should stop for a planning. I mean, you should plan out your actions, and you should really think about your strategies, and you should really stop for a moment and take a good look at what you are doing and figure it out if it's reasonable to continue like this. Is the work that I'm doing right now, is it reasonable? Is it something that I should be doing? Is it contributing to my long-term success or anything like that? So we should definitely stop for a moment and do some planning and really slow down a little bit and trying to see the big picture where we are going, because it's very easy to keep on going and taking a lot of action on different stuff, only to realize that you are taking the wrong type of action, and you are not getting to your destination, and instead you are going to the completely opposite way. So, let's say like, you know, having every Sunday as your planning days where you review your week and figure out the next week, and then you also take a look at the big picture and try to realize your direction where you're going and if it really supports your goals. So that's what I suggest that everyone should be doing, whether you have an online business or not.
Yeah, that was strategy. That was something while I was working, and even now, kind of as a full-time side hustler, it's still like you get caught up on some of this stuff, and you find yourself working till 10 or 11 at night. It's like, you know, why am I doing this? You know, it's kind of like, it'll be there tomorrow. And it's kind of tricking your brain into thinking like, that's okay. Like, okay, let's just, you know, we'll tackle this tomorrow and that's fine. So the sixth and final point that we have, and you brought up a second ago, was coaching. Now, this is something that's been brought up, over and over again on this podcast, the importance of investing in coaching. And I kind of will draw the parallel of even, you know, all the greatest athletes in the world all had coaches, from Michael Phelps to Michael Jordan to, you know, anybody you name, everybody has a coach. And I will be the first to admit that I have not made this investment and I'm kind of intimidated by it. But talk to me a little bit about how coaching can improve your productivity.
Coaching is one of those things that I wasn't quite comfortable with like a couple of years ago. And I never really understood what's the point of paying huge amounts of money for someone else, I never really understood what's the point behind it, and I was almost like I was against it.
Yeah. Okay.
But then I realized at some point that like you mentioned, that, you know, athletes have coaches, so it's pretty much the same thing that you need to have someone else who has already the proven track record, and he really or she really knows what he or she is talking about. This particular person can prove his or her results, what he has already achieved or what she has already achieved. You want to get in touch with that kind of a person, because most likely this person has a lot of great insights and a lot of great ideas when it comes to reaching your goals and your destination. And basically this is the very reason why I hired a coach, and basically it has been one of the best decisions I have made so far. And when it comes to productivity, it means that you are focusing on the right stuff, rather than trying to do everything at once and trying to be everywhere and do everything. You have these certain key things that you are focusing on, because you have this personal assistant, I guess personal assistant in quotes, meaning that this person is really taking good care of you, and he or she wants you to succeed. So having a coach is definitely one of the best things that has happened to me, and especially the fact that you can focus on the right stuff instead of doing everything. It's a huge thing.
Did you make the investment while you were still working full time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so for people, for side hustlers, there's an opportunity to reach out to somebody who's maybe a year or two further along in their journey. Like in the same, are you looking for people in the same industry? Not necessarily the same vertical. You don't want to like your competitor necessarily to be coaching you, but somebody who's kind of been there and done that, right?
Yeah, like of course my criteria when I chose my coach was to have someone who is successful in online business, because that's basically what I'm doing. I'm building my online business, and I wanted to have someone who has already a proven track record of being a successful person, and that's how I, you know, pick my current coach.
Do you mind sharing how much the investment was?
It was approximately $500 per month.
Okay,
that's pretty much what I paid for my coach, and I was comfortable with it, because at the same time I was thinking that okay, I could spend hundreds and hundreds, and I have actually done this. I have spent like thousands of dollars to different information products out there, which are still on my hard drive, you know, and they're just, you know, cluttering my hard drive, and I haven't done anything with that with those things. So I figured that hiring someone who really understands my situation, rather than buying yet another information product, which is very generic in nature.
Yeah, I'm with
you. I think the
one-on-one is a better investment. Yeah. It's an investment in, you know, in your personal development and education, I think.
Yeah, and consider that it's really personal advice, and it's not just some generic advice that you can learn from ebooks or some other training courses out there, but it's a really personal education, and it's an investment, like you said. And if you take action on what you have been taught to do, then at some point, and of course it means that you have to take consistent action, but if you take that action at some point, you are able to, or that investment is paying itself back at some point. So that's also another thing that I had in mind when I thought about coaching and whether I should hire a coach or not. So even if maybe a lot of money for some, but then again, that money can come back to my bank account at some point. So
exactly, it's a you know, you expect some return on investment from it. Yeah. I'm really glad you brought up the point about taking action. Side Hustle Nation is a community of action takers, and that's perfect. So we'll wrap up with whatever system, tools, apps you use. That's not so much important as your point about, you know, taking action and making something happen and just, you know, getting started. So Timo, let's leave us with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation, and then you let us know where we can find you and connect with you online and where people can get this book.
You just have to make some sacrifices, and it's really all about becoming an early riser. And I now realize that if I had been a late riser, meaning that I didn't wake up at 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning and started working on my online business, so I really wouldn't be here. So becoming an early riser is really one of the most important things that have improved my productivity. And
now, do you go to sleep earlier, or do you just sleep less?
Well, I guess that since I tend to wake up at the same time every morning, so at certain points in the evening I feel very tired, and I guess it's really my internal clock telling me that now it's time to go to bed.
Okay.
So it's everything becomes automatic. So it's around, you know, 10 to 11 in the evening when I go to bed.
Very cool. So where can people find this book?
You can actually buy a printed version of this book or a Kindle version from Amazon. But then I'm also offering a free downloadable version. And when you go to www.onlinebusinessproductivity.com, so you can find a download link there, and you can actually download a free PDF.
Wow,
free
thank you.
PDF of,
very cool.
Yeah, yeah. A free PDF of 197 pages, and all I'm asking is that you're giving me your name and your email address, but then you can just, you know, download the PDF and do whatever you like to do with it. I hope that you take action on the advice that you can find there, but it's completely free, and of course there is no one stopping you to actually buy the book if you like to have a real physical book on your hands, or even Kindle version, but that's really up to you.
For sure. Very cool. Timo, thanks so much for coming on the show, sharing all these awesome tips. I think it was a really great conversation. And for everybody listening, definitely go check out the book. I mean, you got no excuse not to. He's giving it away for free. And put these ideas into action.
Yeah, thanks so much, Nick, for having me on this podcast.
You heard the man. Get your butt up early. That's a tough one. I love my sleep, but I think it's a worthwhile tip. Anyways, you just have to remind yourself, you know, what you're working towards, and that if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. So to recap the tips that we covered, so number one, prepare in advance. Number two, be smart about using your travel time. Number three, break it down into small, manageable tasks and time blocks. Number four, elimination. Remember, your not-to-do list is equally important as your to-do list. Number five, slow down. And number six, get a coach. definitely an interesting one there. So what's your top productivity tip? I'm kind of curious how Side Hustle Nation is working to maximize efficiency and dedicate the necessary time to build your business while not having all the time in the world. So I love to geek out on this stuff, and so head on over to the show notes, sidehustlenation.com/episode29, to share your reaction or tip of your own in the comments. And that's it for me. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, you know, go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 30. Actually, next week is Thanksgiving, so I'll probably take that one off, but I'll be back in your earbuds right after that. So have a great holiday. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch up with you soon. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.